Amen. Bless his name for the talent that God has sent our way. We are very, very talented church. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 50. Jeremiah chapter number 50. Just read two verses tonight. I know tonight we have a busy night. There'll be a short business meeting after the service, and I believe Brother Brian said there'll be a deacon's meeting after the service, so we'll be mindful of that. But just to give you a thought tonight out of Jeremiah chapter number 50, verse number 33. Jeremiah 50, chapter 50, verse 33. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast, and they refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, and he may give rest to the land, and to disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon." Father, tonight we thank you for this time together in the house of God, for your word. Father, we thank you for the good songs, and Father, for the friendship and the fellowship we've enjoyed here on this Lord's Day. I pray now, Lord, that you'd help us, show us something in your word. I pray you'd visit with us and have preeminence here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know Jeremiah, he was called to be a prophet before he was even born. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, very, very familiar verse of scripture. And Jeremiah had a lot of commands that our Lord and Savior had commanded him. He was commanded not to marry. We know that Jeremiah, he preached, the weeping prophet. He preached to God's people, and he was hated. He was rejected. He was even beaten and put in chains, put in stocks, and put bound in prison. He was charged with being a traitor. Jeremiah knew what it was like to be a prisoner and to be captive. His message that God had given him broke his very hard, and we know that Jeremiah at a time even wanted to quit and wanted to give up. But he goes on to say that God's word was in his heart like a burning fire that was shut up in his bones. For 40 years, Jeremiah preached to God's people. He begged God's people, and he pleaded to God's people to get right and to turn back to God, to repent and return from their idols, return from their backsliding. And find in the book of Jeremiah, they did just the opposite. Instead of repenting and turning to the true and living God, they go deeper and deeper into sin. And true to God's word, true to Jeremiah's preaching and prophesying, Israel is taking into captivity, captive in bondage to Babylon. You know, to my knowledge, Jeremiah had never had a convert. He never saw God's people repent and turn to God for their unbrokenness and their sin and repent for their backsliding. And I began to think about that. Why is it that we think that we can live our lives contrary to the Word of God? We can live our lives opposite to "Thus saith the Lord." We can not do as we should, not do as we ought, and we think that we can get by with it. Never have to pay a price. Never have to reap what we sow. We think that yes, some may have to go in bondage, some may have to go into captivity, some may have to reap what they sow, but it won't be me. That was God's people. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's praying and he's preaching. He's pleading and he's proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." Yet the people go further and further into their sins. Hearts are hardened. Their conscience is seared. And now they find themselves in bondage. In verse number 33, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captive held them fast." Israel, the northern tribe, Judah, the southern tribe, oppressed together. Means to come violently upon. They were being crushed. Babylon is pressing down upon them. Now their lives are turned upside down. Their lives are in ruins. Families ripped apart. Can you imagine all that these people lost? Let me say, when you go into captivity, when you're bound, when you're a prisoner by the enemy, you'll lose some things. We find this account in Psalms chapter 37. Their mindset. The Bible says, down by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they wasted us, required us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the response is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They wept. It was a time of great sorrow. They were great grief. They were in regret for all that they lost because they are captive. A slave to Babylon. A type of the world. A slave to sin. Let me say, when you are a slave and you're a captive, you will lose some of those precious, precious things in your life. We just read they lost their song. They lost their joy. They lost their zeal and their love for God and the things toward God. Not tonight, I'd like to make a comparison to this account, to the New Testament, being captive, being in bondage, not physically, not literally, but spiritually. You know, we live in America, the land of the free and home of the brave, and God has blessed this land, and He's been good to us. We're not under the boot. We're not under the authority from a foreign country. We've had men and women who sacrificed their time and their families and even their lives to fight for that cause, and I thank God for that. I thank our military personnel for that. I thank our veterans for that. But today, let me say, we are more in more spiritual bondage than we ever have been before. I'm not as much concerned about China or Russia or Iran than I am the folks in this community and the folks in this church that live their lives that are snared by sin and snared by sorrow and the devices of the devil, and they seem like they can't get loose and they can't get out. Captive, chained, and bondage to sin. Verse 33, it says, they were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast and refused to let them go. The enemy refusing to let them go. Is that not what sin does? It gets a hold of your life and it refuses to let you go. You know, in Bible college, they many have the courses and classes called demonology. The doctrine and the study of demons concerning the Bible. And one question that always arises, one question that always comes up, can a person that's saved, can a person that's born again, that has the indwelling Holy Ghost living inside of them, can that person be possessed by a devil or by a demon? It always arises. And I'm no expert, I'm no authority in that subject, that issue, or that matter. But Pastor, this is the way I look at it. If Satan can get a hold of your mind and control what you think, if he can get a hold of your eyes and control what you look at, if he can get a hold of your mouth and control what you say, if he can get a hold of your feet and control what you do, if he can get a hold of your time and control how you spend it, what else there is for him to have? We find they're captive. They're captive. And let me say, spiritual bondage is far worse than physical bondage. I think of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he lived most of his Christian life being in physical captivity, in prison, bound in chains. Yet why in physical captivity? Paul wrote things like, rejoice evermore. pray without ceasing. Thank God be unto God which giveth us the victory. Locked up, physically locked up, literally bound and captive, yet they did not take his song away. His joy was still there. His zeal, his love, his desire toward the things of God were still there. John the Revelator. We find that he was bound and beaten, dipped history in boiling oil. He was cast on the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner he was. Why? For bearing the record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yet John writes things like, unto him, unto Jesus Christ, that loved us and washed us in our sins with his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. To him, to Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Bound captive, bound physically, but yet free spiritually. And tonight it's not only the lost folks, the crowd we pray to get saved that's bound physically. But let me say, I believe there's some folks, Christian church, maybe here tonight, that are bound. We live in a sin-sick world. But let me say, we also live in a sin-sick church age. A church where the heart is faint. A church where where righteousness is forgotten about and holiness is forgotten about and being separate from the world is forgotten about. Bound by sin, a slave to sin, captive to sin. Let me say we're bound by ourselves. We're bound by ourselves, captive, all about me. No matter if it hurts my family. No matter if it hurts my spouse or my children, no matter if it hurts my church, as long as I'm happy, as long as I feel good about it, captive to self. But let me say, we're captive to sorrow, and we're captive also to sourness, bitterness, disheartenedness, discouraged, mad at another brother, mad at another sister, always someone else's fault, bitter and sorrow and sour for the way things turned out. And here in Jeremiah, God's people are bound physically by the enemy. But how much more sad, how much more sad is it tonight we find here in the very house of God being bound spiritually. You say, well, can Christians be bound? Oh, yes. Paul wrote to Timothy. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. He's speaking about a servant of the Lord. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preaventure will give them repentance to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who have taken captive by him at his will. Captive. By Satan in the house of God. This past week, I was watching a documentary on Rob O'Neill. He was the Navy SEAL that shot and killed Osama bin Laden. And in that interview, they asked Rob O'Neill about his mindset going and flying into that compound, what it was like and what was their mindset like. And Rob O'Neill said that they pretty much, the team, the SEAL team, pretty much knew and come to the conclusion that they were all going to die. And they were going to die trying to capture or kill the world's most dangerous terrorist. And what got me was, that's not what bothered Rob O'Neill. What bothered him was the fact that they may be taken alive. He said it would be far worse to be taken alive than to die in battle. Let me say tonight, church, in your Christian life, it's far worse to be taken alive by Satan than it is to die on this battlefield. Because when Satan, the captor, has you bound in sin and has you bound in self and sourness and sorrow, he'll have you defeated. And it not only affects you, but it affects everyone around you. We find they're bound tonight. What is it that Satan has a grip on your life, that has you bound? What is it in your life that's causing you to be bound and to be captive? Verse 33, a stronghold, that stronghold on your life. Verse 33, the Bible says that took them captives, held them fast. These captives, Babylon, it was held them fast. The old English word, to be bound with great strength, a firm, a stout, a rigid bondage, held them fast, had a hold on them. But then it says, I see the refusal to let them go. In verse number 33, it says, and held them fast, they refused to let them go. Satan, let me say once, he never wants to let anything go that he possesses. I was thinking this afternoon back in Exodus. God's children are bound. They're slaves in Egypt. They're bound to Pharaoh. And Moses, a type of Satan, comes, type of Christ, he comes, and Moses confronts Pharaoh and says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. He tells Pharaoh that nine times. Nine in the number of Bible is the completeness or finality, but before the last time he tells that to Pharaoh, in Exodus chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, Pharaoh's response, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Moses says, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, that's fine. You can go to the wilderness, but don't go far. Don't go long. I believe he was saying, go ahead to sacrifice. But go ahead and go to church on Sunday. Go ahead and sing the songs. Go ahead and read your Bible. Do all you have to do. But when it's over, you're coming back to me. You're still my captive. You're still my prisoner. A refusal to let them go. He held them fast. He refused to let them go. But notice verse 34. The Redeemer. Aren't you glad it doesn't end in verse 33? Aren't you glad that the story doesn't end in captivity? It doesn't end being bound by the enemy, but it ends with the Redeemer. It ends with the Deliverer. It ends with this Restorer. In verse 34, the Bible says, their Redeemer is strong. Their Redeemer is strong. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness led by the Spirit for 40 days, 40 nights, tempted of Satan. He returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The Bible says he enters the synagogue. He gets the book of Isaiah. He stands and he reads. He proclaims, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's my Redeemer. That's my Savior. That's my Deliverer, Jesus Christ. What a Deliverer, what a Redeemer he is. Verse 34, it says, their Redeemer is strong. Notice his strength. We don't serve a weak God tonight. Our Redeemer's not frail. He's not fragile. He's not weak. He's not delicate. Jesus Christ is not a weak Redeemer. That's what gets me about watching these Hollywood films and Hollywood movies. They always portray my Savior as weak or easily imposed upon, emasculated, submissive. But let me say about my Redeemer. For one solid night, they beat him. For one solid night, they bruised him, they whipped him, they mocked him, they slapped him. And that man, Jesus Christ, that took the cross, placed it upon his back, marched up dark Calvary's hill for six more hours, he suffered before giving up the ghost. That's a mighty Jesus. That's the strong Jesus. That's our Jesus Christ. And when I was in the dungeon, and when I was in the prison, And when I was in captivity, bound and captive to sin, here came my Redeemer, and he spoke deliverance, and he broke those chains. It wasn't the church, it wasn't the Baptist that broke my chains, it wasn't the preacher that broke my chains, but it was Jesus Christ the Redeemer. That song they sang this morning, thank God I'm free. Free, free, free from this world of sin, washed in the blood. I've been born again. I say, number one, he's a strong Redeemer. Let me say, number two, I see this Redeemer's signature. In verse number 34, it says, the Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. They tell me when you were redeemed a captive, one that was bound and one that was a slave, that someone had to sign for them. Someone had to put their name on the line. And to redeem a high-profile captive or to redeem a important captive, you had to have some credentials. I see his signature. Well, what is his credentials? It says he is the Lord of hosts is his name. Three times in the Bible, or there's three ways in the Bible that the Lord of hosts is described. It's described as the Lord of hosts over the created, over the heavenly host, over the angels. He's Lord over Satan. He's Lord over the cherubims. He's Lord over the seraphims. He's Lord over the angels. He's Lord over them all. But then there's the Lord of hosts over the creation. He's Lord over the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxy. He owns it all tonight. Then he's the Lord of hosts over the Calvary. A host in the Bible is a great fighting group, a great army, a great group ready to do battle. Let me say tonight, I'm glad I have somebody that's on my side that was with a great host ready to go to battle for me. My Redeemer's strong tonight. My Redeemer, I see his signature, but I see his support as well. In verse 34, it says, their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name, and he shall thoroughly plead their cause. Why were they captive? He knew, and they knew it was their fault. They had the opportunity to repent. They kept going further in their sins. They rejected the word of God. But yet, however, it says he shall thoroughly plead their cause. In the court of law, who is it that pleads your cause to the judge? It's that lawyer. It's that one that stands beside you. It's that eternity that pleads your cause. Let me say in 1 John chapter 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's that one that comes beside us, that one that is to our side. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's saying, I know you've done wrong. Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. An advocate, one that'll support, one that'll plead our cause. We have his signature. He's mighty in strength. Let me say, what a Redeemer we have. They were bound physically, but how much more worse tonight being bound spiritually in the very house of God. What is it that may have you bound? What is it that may have your family, your children, your loved ones bound? Let me say tonight, church, we have a mighty, mighty strong Redeemer. Let's stand tonight. Lord, tonight we want to thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are our Redeemer. You are our one that pleads our cause. You are the one, Father, that rescues and delivers and redeems. Lord, there may be some here tonight that are captive, that besetting sin, the things in their life that have them bound. I pray, Lord, as you speak and as you deal with their hearts, Lord, that you would help them Help them, Father, call upon your name. And I'm thankful, Father, you're faithful and just to forgive those sins. Lord, we need you. And I pray you'd cleanse our hearts. And Father, we could live a life that's pleasing to you. We need you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone to help me tonight on the piano.